فاتخذه وقيلا واصبر على ما يقولون واحجرهم هجرا جميلا.
مرحبا, this is the month of Ramadan and WBAI will present 3 one-hour specials. That's on Monday the 27th at 8 p.m., Wednesday the 29th at 2 in the afternoon, and in the new year on Thursday, January 6th at 2 in the afternoon. So won't you join us? That's Monday the 27th at 8 in the evening, Wednesday the 29th at 2 in the afternoon, and on Thursday, January the 6th at 2 p.m. for WBAI's Ramadan.
That Allah would guide his way. At first the people were angry, they did not understand. La ilaha illallah.
And you're listening to radio station WBAI. And if you know anything about radio, you understand that when we accidentally hit the theme music before, it takes a little bit of time for it to cue up again to get to the beginning of the tape. So, Isaac, we're just going to sit here and fill up some time before while that happens. It's endless loop tape. That's how they're called carts.
It's the magic of carts.
It used to be what commercials were played on most stations. But now I think they've gone digital. They've all gone to something that you don't have to sit around and wait for something like this.
Yeah,
this
nice
is the old analog technology.
It's nice to be able to hit a space bar and
yeah,
just have that.
It's done.
Okay.
It's time for Off the Hook. And a very good evening to everybody. The program is Off the Hook. It's Emmanuel Goldstein here with you. It's Tuesday evening. Isaac's here as well.
How you doing?
And we only have 10 days left.
Dun-dun-dun.
That's right, 10 days. 10 days till the end of the world. 10 days till, you know, if I hear another person say the end of the century, I'm going to kill them, really.
Well,
it's not the end of the century.
Well, it's more appropriate than, well, it's, all right, it's equally wrong as to call it the next millennium.
Oh, yeah, the same basic stupidity, yes. That, you know, it's not the new millennium begins in 2001, the century ends at the end of 2000.
Yes.
How hard is that to understand? And you know what's going to happen? All these commercial establishments that are having their end of the millennium sale, they're going to say, well, this is the real end of the millennium sale next year, because they're going to go through the whole thing all over again.
Well, you heard what the White House said.
What did the White House say?
Oh, Bill Clinton basically, he was asked as to whether or not the White House would be celebrating the millennium at the end of this year or the end of next year.
Uh-huh.
And he said, well, you know, we feel that enough people seem to believe that this is the millennium, so we'll be doing it this year rather than next.
So it's popular opinion. That's what
right.
matters. If enough people think that the moon is made out of cheese.
Science goes out the window,
yeah.
And we'll just take what most people think.
Well, we're going to adopt a slightly more scientific approach here at WBAI. And as the days wind down to a precious few, it's time that we take stock of our lives, see where things stand, and try not to panic. as we look at Y2K, Countdown to Doom. Feel it? Can you feel the panic beginning? Oh, it's glorious. It's going to be something unheralded in mankind's history. And we've seen it in little bits and pieces. If you've been listening to the news, the authorities are starting to get just a little bit testy about certain things. Just last week in New York City, it was announced that virtually every elevator will be turned off at 20 minutes to 12. Just as a precaution. And they'll keep them off until about, 5-10 minutes after 12, and then they'll turn them on again to the relief of the people who are inside them, or however it is that they decided to turn them off, I don't know. That's one thing. I've noticed that. I've noticed, even today, there was the Federal Reserve was supposed to make an announcement regarding interest rates. And what do you think they decided? Well, they decided not to hike interest rates at all. And one of the reasons they gave was that they didn't want to rock the boat as the year 2000 approaches. I mean, can you imagine this? The whole economy is being driven by a number changing. And they did not touch the interest rates because they didn't want to start any kind of a panic or anything like that. The committee said it wants to ensure a smooth transition at the turn of the millennium. And even they get it wrong. Uncertainty looms about the so-called Y2K bug, which may cause computers to misread 2000 as 1900 and possibly shut down altogether. Can you imagine if the stock market went back to 1900?
That'd be fun.
Was there even a stock market in 1900? It crashed in 1929, so I don't know. That'd be pretty interesting. You have some supplies over there, Isaac?
Yeah.
You're going to need?
You handed me this fine document from CNN Food Central, which is the Y2K preparedness checklist. They offer some interesting advice. Here we go. There's a little list here. Suggestions for food.
Pay attention, people. I know a lot of people out there think that we're joking around, that we're kidding around. We try to maintain an air of levity. But all you kids out there, take pen, paper, all that kind of thing, and take note, because come January 1st, you're going to wish you had these things, all right? Now settle down. All right, go ahead. I'm sorry about that.
Okay, well, this is what CNN says, which I may or may not agree with, but okay. Ready-to-eat canned meats, fruits and vegetables. So that means stock up on Spam, those like the Goya cans of pineapple and...
Does it mention a can opener this time?
Yes, it does. It says a non-electric can opener.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, very good idea.
That's a good idea. Powdered milk or formula.
Uh-huh.
Comfort foods. I would imagine that's like your Twinkies and your Oreos and so forth.
Yeah, it's real comforting to me.
Food for infants. I'm assuming that's only if you have small children around that would...
Well, maybe there's a secret there. Maybe food for infants actually gets you through a crisis.
Well, this one was kind of strange when I, at first glance, it just says staples. And I'm thinking, what is that doing in the food category? But then they explained further that it meant salt, sugar, spices.
Ah, okay.
You know, these staple supplies.
Do not swallow staples.
Yes, the staples are non-ingestible. Canned juices and vitamins. They also list something here for a first aid kit, which has aspirin, anti-diarrhea medication. This one's kind of interesting. Syrup of Ipecac to induce vomiting as advised by the Poison Control Center. So, you know, if you make the telephone call and manage to reach Poison Control and they say you want to induce vomiting,
yeah,
you have the Syrup of Ipecac.
They always tell you to induce vomiting. The Poison Control people are fanatics about vomiting.
Well, there are a few instances when you definitely don't want to induce vomiting, but that's another story. Laxative, which is another kind, but that's another story. Thermometer, bandages, cleansing agents, soap, tweezers, and antiseptic. They mentioned somewhere else in the article about water. Now, you really ought to keep about a gallon per person per 3 days, which I would tend to disagree with. I think you should have more water than that on hand. Here we go. Other non-food supplies for comfort and safety. You should have cash on hand, a whistle.
That's how you get the cash.
That's how you get the cash?
Yeah, okay. You whistle, everybody runs and you pick up their wallets. I don't know.
I thought you could do a little tap dance in the subway.
It's madness.
Disposable plates and utensils, a battery-operated radio, and then extra batteries. Very smart of them.
Yeah.
Matches, a compass, paper and a pencil or pen, because, you know, if you have paper around with that paper pen.
Aren't these things you should just have all the time anyway?
Basically.
All right.
Yeah, this is standard preparedness for just about any instance that can occur.
So basically we're just educating people on how they should be prepared for anything that might happen.
Well,
even a year changing.
The Red Cross recommended that you prepare for something like a winter storm, and I would tend to agree with that.
Mm-hmm. Or a winter riot in the streets as people go crazy.
Well,
that's the only thing I'm worried about, you know. I'm just worried about people going completely nuts.
Well, evidently not, because you intend to be in Times Square.
Well, that's because I want to witness people going completely nuts.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So you might as well be at ground zero.
Well, I said this before. The only thing it's going to take is one moron saying, hey, the ATM's not working, and all of a sudden that's when the riots start. City starts to crumble.
You're going to hear about that for 20 hours beforehand.
Mm-hmm. Why?
Because
turn the ATMs off?
No. You have New Zealand, Australia, China.
True.
You have basically the rest of the world suffering their Y2K bugs before we even get around to it.
It's really not going to be that difficult for us. We'll be the last ones.
Well, we'll be the last ones, but it's going to make people very nervous when you hear all these reports from around the world.
But if we start...
I think that's going to be the main
If we start losing cities across the country, you know, across the world, if, you know, New Zealand and then Asia, and if cities start to disappear...
Well, they're not going to disappear.
Then less people will show up in Times Square, for one thing.
Okay, so you're going to have a lot of room.
People will be a little bit more cautious as to just exactly what's going to happen. So.
And others will instead be, you know, getting their crowbars and baseball bats and ready for the excuse for them to riot.
Did you mention those things to purchase?
No. There were no crowbars or baseball bats listed.
What's wrong with CNN?
I don't know.
Politically correct memos there.
You see, for the few occasions that I actually have paper in my hands, I find it worthless.
Well, the Washington Post has this story. A year ago, the experts warned that Y2K could bring disaster, doom, and gloom, computer meltdowns.
Warning that for decades.
Yeah, ATMs would fail, water taps would run dry, the lights would go out across America. You know, all these people are warning me to get water, you know, to stock up on water. I have a well, okay? What in the world does my well does not care what date it is?
Do you drink soda?
What does that have to do with anything?
If you have empty soda bottles, just fill them with water from your tap and put them on a shelf.
Are you listening to me?
I have a
well. Okay?
Are you going to seriously start pumping from the well?
I'm just saying, I'm not going to run out of water. I can run out of water.
Yeah, but it's not going to hurt to fill two-liter bottles of water for yourself.
It's stupid. It doesn't make any sense. The water's still going to be there. It's not going to disappear because the date changed.
True.
All right.
But it'll just keep you from having to go outside in the cold. Did you consider the fact that it's winter and perhaps you have a good degree of ice in your well?
Well, if there's ice, guess what ice turns into when you melt it?
Yeah, but it's not going to pump up very well.
Anyway, these apocalyptic visions seem overblown because so many fixes have been made with less than, I guess, 2 weeks now to go. Before the new year, the experts wish people were a little more jazzed up about Y2K preparations. Reasonable precautions are urged, but few households have made them yet. Bernie S., are you prepared?
I'm in my bunker right now, Manuel.
All right. You like how we just sort of brought him in?
You got room down there?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Don't let him in.
My bunker.
No, don't let him in. Don't let anybody in. You saw that Twilight Zone episode.
Somebody's exactly. So big on preparedness, and he wants to get into my bunker.
Yeah.
Hey, well, you know, I have my own, but if yours is... You got TV down there?
Videotapes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, he's got a VCR. That's what I forgot. All right.
Colombia's main leftist rebel band uses computers for everything from internet-based public relations to maintaining lists of kidnapped victims to be snatched at roadblocks, so you can bet it hasn't neglected the Y2K computer bug. We've been working a long time on preventative measures, said Juan, 33, a systems manager interviewed in Colombia's guerrilla-controlled south. Juan said the Revolutionary Armed Forces of Colombia, or FARC, the country's largest rebel group, has updated its hardware and software to the latest generation, including obtaining an advanced version of Microsoft's new operating system, Windows 2000. Can you believe the stories CNN comes up with?
That's actually pretty funny.
It's pretty funny. It's the kind of thing you expect to see on Onion, you know, theonion.com. It's... Yeah, the rebels have all the latest technology, and sometimes their equipment is better than that of the armed forces.
Yeah, do they include a picture of the guy?
And his address.
I just picture some guy standing in the middle of the woods in a beret, you know, just saying, well, you know, our equipment is way up to date. We, for one, will be ready to attack when our opposition manages to crash.
And what is the date of your attack? Oh, yes, it'll be taking place on January 3rd, 3 p.m. Yeah.
One thing about these Colombian rebels, Emmanuel,
mm-hmm.
is that they're very active in pirate radio, believe it or not.
Really?
Yeah. In fact, they're probably one of the few clandestine stations that, genuine clandestine stations that shortwave listeners in the United States can still pick up. It used to be pretty common in these third world countries to have these clandestine, truly anti-government broadcast stations set up. But the FARC does have a few stations. One of the frequencies is 6261 kilohertz. The voice de la resistencia.
But don't tune in until after we're over because we have some revolutionary things to say ourselves.
Very good.
Yeah.
Get on with it.
Definitely. And if you are a pirate broadcaster out there, make sure that your equipment is Y2K compliant. Some luxury Paris restaurants plan to stay closed on New Year's Eve out of fear of becoming targets for violent youth gangs mingling with revelers in the city center. A spokesman for the celebrated Fouquet on the Champs-Élysées told Reuters it would be closed all day to avoid a repeat of incidents at the end of the 1998 World Cup soccer tournament when the restaurant was turned into an improvised infirmary. Giant McDonald's fast food outlet on the avenue would also close for the same reasons, and several restaurants have decided to wall off their premises from the street for the entire period. So this is what it takes to shut down big industry, the four digits of a year changing. Actually, you know, this is the first time ever, really ever, that four digits have changed. For instance, when 999 changed to 1,000, it was only three digits going into four digits. But this is the only time ever that all four digits have changed at the same time. I'm just trying to come up with something unique.
I'm the guy who, like, did 5 miles an hour on the LIE when my car rolled around to 200,000 miles.
Well, that's not significant. It's only significant when all the digits are the same, you know.
Well,
all zeros, all ones, you know.
It was
like
199999, and it became 200,000.
Yeah, but there's a two and a bunch of zeros. It's not that significant. When it's all the same, that's when rolling over. When you all twos... Tell me then, I'll be impressed.
Okay.
I'm
way past that on my car.
Oh, well, then you got to look forward to the threes. Let's see, Washington, D.C. officials boost security for Millennium. Local and federal officials are increasing security around the city, even as they invite hundreds of thousands of revelers to celebrate the new Millennium. Here we go again. In the nation's capital. As part of the preparation, city officials have designated more than 145 street intersections that will be manned by law enforcement officers, and the city has been divided into patrol regions so that public safety personnel are within walking distance of any residence or building. We would be less than responsible if we didn't take some precautions.
Good for them.
Yeah. We'll see how that works out. I've got a memo here. Bernie, I'd like your opinion on this, actually. This is a memo from a local university, which basically has some advice to give. All non-essential campus personnel are encouraged to stay home over the New Year's. This is the memo that's trying to get people not to panic. Nothing bad's going to happen. But everybody, please stay home. Keep away. Personnel defined as essential have been notified. I mean, that's got to make you feel bad if you haven't been notified that you're not essential.
I'm not essential.
Yeah. Well, the essential people have all been notified by their departments regarding their responsibilities during the affected period, which is December 31st to January. Anyone want to guess?
3rd.
That's right. How'd you know that?
It's Monday.
All right.
Well, if these people aren't essential, why are they even in the employ of the university?
I think we should start asking some hard questions.
Yeah, this could be a good indicator of future layoffs.
How about those people not defined as essential don't bother coming back at all?
Exactly.
Just stay home and don't come back. Only have essential people here. Those who do not have an urgent need to be on campus should secure their work areas until their return after 1/2. Secure their work areas.
Does that mean their office door?
And booby trap them, you know, for looters? You know, you have to think about these things. Reporting of emergencies must be restricted to critical functions. Problems with computer accounts, dial-in facilities, and access to the Internet do not qualify as emergencies.
Well, that depends on who you are.
Yeah. This is directed, I believe, to the people that are inside various computer centers. So they have...
So is this for faculty or students?
I think it's for faculty. I'm pretty sure it is, because there's no students around this intersession anyway. But what they have are command centers, and these have got to be a lot of fun. The command centers that will be keeping track of all the things that are failing.
And serving donuts and coffee between the hours of 4 and 5.
But the thing is, they give phone numbers. What if the phone system goes down? What good is this command center going to be if they just have phones?
Well, you have walkie-talkies, and you can run around to the physical plant and stuff.
Absolutely no personal generators ought to be brought to campus. They represent a... They represent a health and safety risk and will be confiscated if found.
What if I hook something up to my bike?
No.
Exactly.
No.
I can't do that?
It's a risk.
Oh.
In addition, anyone who violates this directive is personally liable, both financially and criminally, if it causes harm to university personnel or property.
Unless I
not
can
like
ride
they
away
they normally
fast
are not liable if they harm.
No, right, yeah. Just last week we had someone drop a generator on someone's head and they're not liable at all. Due to the redundant power systems available to the campus, the probability of the loss of power is very low.
I agree with that.
It would take extraordinary amount of incompetence, which has been achieved before, but it's very
many
unlikely.
Universities.
Yes. Access to the campus dial-in facilities cannot be guaranteed during the transition period. While the servers may function normally, the staff reserves the right to terminate sessions without notice if necessary.
I don't like him. Click.
In other words, do not use the system for any important work during the New Year's weekend. Does this sound like people really have a grip on the situation?
That sounds like a good excuse to not get my homework in.
There you go.
In anticipation, here we go, this is the best part. In anticipation of the well-publicized fact that computer hackers may be out in full force during the transition.
This
the well-publicized fact that hackers may be out in full force, what does that mean? That means absolutely nothing. It just means that this is another way to blame things that haven't even happened yet on hackers.
Well, we'll talk about that in a second.
Let alone blaming,
I want to go deep into that.
Let alone blaming things on hackers that happen already. But here we're blaming things that haven't even happened yet and may never happen. But we want to blame them on hackers. And
aliens
if it doesn't happen,
landing in full force too.
If it doesn't happen, it's because the hackers were prevented from doing it. If it does happen, it's because the hackers did it.
That's how it works.
Anyway, in anticipation of the well-publicized fact that computer hackers may be out in full force during the transition period, all non-essential servers and workstations should be powered down or disconnected from the network. This is especially important for individuals that plan to be away during this period. I don't know, if you were there, are you supposed to turn off your computer and just stare at it? You know, it's like, of course, you're not going to be there if you turn off your computer. I don't get the logic. As an added precaution, users are encouraged to avoid launching any attachments that are received from unknown sources. You only have to do this during the New Year's period.
Right.
Don't heed these warnings any other time. For example, emails may be sent to you indicating that the attached file is critical to ensure that your machine is Y2K compliant.
Or it's going to wish you a happy day.
That's right. All users, and here's a really good part here. All users are requested to use the campus site license for McAfee antivirus software on their campus and home machines and download the latest virus from the vendor.
Virus?
Oh, I skipped a couple of words. Virus signature files.
Oh, okay.
That was my little Y2K glitch there. Sorry.
I see.
And that's,
McAfee would never release viruses in order to increase sales of their product.
No, not at all.
No. And they close by wishing you a happy new year. So that's the fun news out of that local university. I'm not going to embarrass them by name because they're all like that. 911 centers, they say they're all ready. What's funny is if you read the news story, they say more than 98.5% of the centers say their equipment is now Y2K ready. But if you go to a site that they link from, on the CNN site, the National Emergency Number Association. Really, there's an organization, the National Emergency Number Association. They're big over 911, and it's all they ever talk about. They just 911 is their crowning glory. Apparently.
What about Channel 9?
They invented it or something. Well, if you go there, it's 100%. So it's 98.5 if you're on CNN, but 100% there. So I don't think they have it quite together. They can't even agree on the number.
Well, all right. I mean, that's three people out of every 200. Or out of luck if you have a heart attack or something?
I'm not, well, apparently, because the elevator's going to be off anyway, so.
Yeah, I guess they can't
get
up
out of luck no matter what, so, yeah.
Well, you also have to keep in perspective that these emergency services are simply reporting what their vendors are telling them. If the vendor says this product is Y2K compliant, they say, okay.
Yeah.
They have the piece of paper that says so.
Right.
What this shows is just how dependent people are on things and how blind they are and how they really don't know how anything works. It's really all that boils down to.
So this ought to be a very interesting learning experience.
Yes.
To put it quite simply.
Yes, as we reinvent fire, because we may have to go back to the caveman days.
I don't know. I have my Zippo, and if it doesn't light, man, I'm going to track those guys down.
Yes. President Clinton's top aide on Y2K matters has urged computer hackers to exercise self-restraint until after the year 2000, after year 2000, technology fears largely have passed. This story is a riot. This comes from Reuters. In an unusual plea for mercy, John Koskinen, chairman of the President's Council on Year 2000 Conversion, said that some people regard piercing computer network security to be a great public service because it calls attention to security cracks. Hopefully, those people will recognize we're going to have enough things going on that weekend, that this will not be a particularly good weekend to demonstrate the need for more information security. I said this on Monday. If you want to, in fact, make those points, my hope is that you'll make them the following weekend.
Oh, great.
So basically this guy's saying, okay, if you want to hack a website someplace, do it next week. I mean, basically he's condoning it.
Is this what we call an affirmative defense in a court situation?
It could be.
Well,
we have a White House official encouraging you to do it. I mean, that sounds like a great court defense, right? It's called an affirmative defense.
My hope is you'll make them the following weekend. He's hoping.
He's hoping that we do it.
Okay. Well, I guess that's an invitation. But while this story is rather humorous, I do find it somewhat frightening. If you
find everything frightening, I see.
Well, it has some very interesting implications. You've probably noticed in the media recently there's been a lot of attention being paid to hackers. For instance, I missed 2020 last night.
I didn't.
Well.
And I wish
I
did.
I've heard some things.
Yeah, well, we'll talk about that in a little while, too.
Especially in recent times, there's been a lot of attention being brought up by various media outlets about hackers. And now the White House is saying, you know, we expect you all to be out in full force, but we would kindly ask.
It's a well-published fact.
Exactly. It's a well-published fact. And if it's well-published, it evidently is fact that hackers will be doing evil things on January 1st. Now, our government has already said that it is 100% Y2K compliant in every system, DOD, this, that, and the other thing,
mm-hmm.
which means they're putting together a contingency that if things do fail,
mm-hmm.
they've already
hackers.
Got the people to blame. It's
yeah.
the hackers. We asked them not to play around this weekend, but they did it anyway. We were all ready for it. So this, I for one am somewhat wary of what will be occurring come January 2nd and 3rd as the witch hunts for hackers begin, because we're going to be the ones who are blamed for every single Y2K failure that has already been previously on a product that has been previously established as Y2K compliant.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely...
I just smell setup.
Well, it's just the tone here is very weird, you know, just saying that, they're pleading with hackers not to do things, basically saying that we're at your mercy. I mean...
Well, I don't...
Think of the crazy... You have the most powerful government in the history of the world saying to a bunch of teenagers, please leave us alone.
It doesn't make sense.
No, it makes no sense
at
all.
And they've never actually addressed anyone. Have you gotten a letter from the government saying, you know, would you please tell your constituents not to be hacking anything?
No, the government doesn't speak to me. The government does not talk to me
right.
at all.
So they're just floating the story in the media.
No cards, no letters.
Nothing.
No phone calls.
I, for one, would like a Christmas card from some of my people. And well, anyway, but it makes me a little wary. Smell setup.
Last week, the U.S. Office of Personnel Management announced it would interrupt its Internet services for several hours during the New Year's weekend as a guard against hackers, power surges, and other possible Y2K headaches. How did we get to the top of the list? We didn't invent Y2K. That was bad programming. But all of a sudden now, if anything happens during Y2K, it's hackers.
It was good programming for the time. But...
Yeah, well, that was about 20 minutes. But, you know, after that passed, it was very self-centered and not thinking to the future at all.
Well, we were supposed to replace the software at least four times by now. It's not our fault if MetLife can't manage to upgrade its stuff.
The agency said it would bar access during that limited period to the many data banks normally available on its website. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting. We've got a number of letters on this topic as well from outraged people saying how dare they. After locking up Bernie S., Kevin Mitnick, Fiber Optic, as well as attacking hackers and businesses in Operation Sun Devil, the government has the nerve to ask hackers for mercy come January 1st? Where was the mercy when Kevin was in jail? When Fiber and Bernie S. were in jail? Where was the mercy when Steve Jackson Games was raided? There was none.
They showed no mercy.
I think hackers have always shown restraint when hacking. No, not to you webpage hacker wannabes, especially when trying to learn about computers and operating systems. But in this case, it is my belief that the government has no right to ask hackers for any kind of mercy after the things they've done.
Well, they have every right to ask.
Remember how cocky the government was when Emmanuel Goldstein addressed the Senate. Well, actually, it was the House of Representatives, and it was a subcommittee. But
it's
regardless.
Still important.
Where's that cockiness now? I say hackers should just sit back, enjoy the party of the century, relax, and watch with amusement. If and when government computers grind to a halt, then all of hackerdom can utter four words, we told you so. Well, actually, I don't think we told them exactly what was going to happen, but the thing is, if something happens, it's not going to be hackers that cause it. It's going to be bad programming that causes it, security holes that cause it, and... It seems like they're goading people. They're almost challenging them, you know, to do something. So it's kind of troubling. All right. Bernie, anything else on the Y2K front from you?
It's not Y2K related necessarily, but it's part of the whole general paranoia thing.
Okay, go ahead with that, and then we'll go into the 2020 story, and then we'll take some phone calls, hopefully.
Here in Philadelphia, a local story here in Philadelphia, our city council has just proposed a new law that would outlaw the presence of any pay telephone within 20 feet of any establishment that sells malt liquor.
What?
Malt liquor. These pay phones exist primarily for the use of drug dealers, says Robert Brown.
You didn't know that, Isaac?
No. I actually did not.
In the city council office.
Think of the children, for God's sake.
Well, I always figured it would be nice to have a payphone around for if you are seriously inebriated, you can call, say, a cab to get a ride home.
Well, people don't get inebriated in liquor stores, do they?
Oh, no, but you can sell malt liquor for consumption. I'm sorry, Bernie, go ahead.
Fortunately, no drug dealers use wireless phones.
Oh, of course.
Otherwise, they could make an end run around this sort of thing.
Okay, and now we've got the 2020 story, which was on last night. Did anybody see this?
I actually missed it.
I'd like to get some calls from people that may have seen this, because, boy, this is a real piece of work. I knew it was going to be trouble when they were talking about all these virtual gangs and how they were causing all kinds of fear and havoc on the net.
So it was the typical, you know, hacker evil type terrorist.
It basically
story.
Was. It basically
okay.
was.
No, I don't feel so bad.
It focused mostly on a group called Global Hell, which has hacked a lot of web pages. And you know, you have to look back in history. You have to look at the things we've been talking about over the years. When Farber was put in prison, when Bernie was put in prison, when Kevin was put in prison, it was for things that meant something. It was for knowledge. It was for figuring out phone company computers, figuring out ways of manipulating things, not doing evil things, but just having the knowledge. And now what are we talking about? We're talking about hacking a web page, changing a page, copying a file. I mean, it's so incredibly simplistic. I can't even express it properly. It's the equivalent of flipping a switch. You flip the switch back, the problem is fixed. They're sending a kid to prison for 15 months because of that, because he did it to the wrong people. He did it to the White House, did it to the feds and all kinds of different sites there. And that is what hacking is defined as now, is simply a web page being changed. So imagine how they're going to think of the people that have real knowledge, that are really figuring out how computer systems work. They're really dangerous ones. That's what scares me. Did you see the program, Bernie?
I was working, unfortunately.
Uh-huh.
But I think it would have made me pretty sick if I saw it.
Yeah. Hackers now with their own conventions and magazines see themselves as artists or pranksters at worst. The federal government says there are plenty of reasons to fear the damage that could be caused by hackers. If you deface a website of a company that is making $18 million a day, you are committing a pretty serious crime, says Assistant U.S. Attorney Matthew Yarbrough, a member of the federal government's Cyber Crimes Task Force.
So if you were to hack the website of a non-for-profit organization that pulled in not a red cent every day.
Yeah, he says that's
that would
okay.
be a less of a crime.
Yeah, the next paragraph he says go for it.
Okay.
Yeah, if it's nonprofit.
I just found that a little interesting.
No, but you touch upon a good point. It's about money.
An $18 million company is a major crime.
You piss off people with money, and all of a sudden it becomes a serious crime when it's simply renaming a file. And if a company is making $18 million a day on the web, odds are they're going to have somebody that they're paying to notice when a certain key file, and I mean a key file, because index.html is a pretty key file, when that gets changed and your website is suddenly going to, playboy.com, you'll notice that and you'll fix it, and it'll take you about 3 seconds.
Unless it's playboy.com, where that would be the preferred
Well, after the webmaster looks at it for a while, then they'll get around to fixing it, I suppose. So that was basically the gist of the whole story, was that kind of fear-mongering. And it's resulted already. It's resulted in all kinds of backlash. Just people sending us emails saying that we're like the new terrorists of the 21st century.
Well, Bill Clinton already declared us that, if you recall.
Did he actually say we were terrorists, or does?
Oh yeah, we were brought in with terrorism and terrorists, and what was the other group? Yeah. Is like
cyber crime.
Yeah, probably pedophiles.
Well, anyway, here's one sample letter that we received. I'm going to have to edit out a few words here. I seen the story about y'all on 2020 last night and was wondering how I could get some info on how to F up my landlord's PC because the lady is charging me outrageous rent and I just wanted to stop because I'm not rich. Even some helpful hints will help. P.S. all caps. I love what y'all are about, so F the gov and keep doing that thing y'all do. One love, free Kevin.
Okay, that's what we're all about then.
That's okay. One of many letters that we have gotten in the past 24 hours from people that don't get it as far as what hackers are about. And every time this happens, and a couple of years down the road, these are the people that ABC is going to be doing a special on and calling them hackers, saying, wow, these people are doing horrible things on the net and they're all cyber terrorists. They just don't get it, because it's not being presented to them properly. They see the MTV special, they see the ABC feature, and that's what they think hacking is about. Bernie, if you had to describe to somebody what the hacking world was all about, where would you point them? And don't say 2600. Say something. Say something else. Say something.
Sorry, that was the answer.
Yeah,
I'd point them to some sort of technical library,
mm-hmm.
Either at a university or major city that has a good technical book section.
That sounds too boring, though. That sounds,
Well, I mean, hey, you have to. It's not a boring to me. I find it fascinating.
Uh-huh.
I mean, if someone finds technical books boring, then they have no business being hackers or trying to call themselves hackers.
Mm-hmm. And how about more of the civil liberties aspect of it? Where would you guide somebody for that?
On the web?
Well, anywhere. I mean, people are interested in these issues.
Aside from 2600, do a search. Do mm-hmm. search on the web. It should be obvious to anybody with normal intelligence, anything that has a positive goal or negative goal.
Mm-hmm.
Positive goal being education, learning, figuring things out, maybe unconventional methods of figuring things out or unconventional technical solutions, that sort of thing. That doesn't take a lot of intelligence to differentiate between that and something that's destructive or malicious. If it's destructive or malicious, then it's not about hacking. It's about vandalism.
That's right. And even vandals, though, should not get sent to prison for 15 months. But it's definitely not what hacking is all about. And for God's sake, people who hack web pages, imagine what the story would have been like if the messages left on those web pages were halfway intelligent, instead of just all this posturing and bragging and boasting. If it was something, you know, really interesting, something you could talk about, something politically motivated or, you know, having to do with human rights or something like that. Some websites are, but the most highly publicized ones, unfortunately, have been complete gibberish.
What happens to the Greenpeace people when they hang a huge banner off of a large building? What kind of sentence do they get? And I find that comparable to changing index.html on a website, for instance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you inspire so many more people when the message actually makes sense. We got mail from somebody over in East Timor that was amazed. They saw the hacked pages in Indonesia, and they said, wow, you know, I never even thought we could do something like this. This is very inspirational. And that's what it's about. That's expression. That's, you know, using technology in a clever kind of a way. And, yeah, committing an act of vandalism in some degree, but using it for a good purpose, not just for your own personal agenda.
The key point is you're not destroying anyone's physical property. You're not depriving anyone of anything physical. It's all intangible. It's ideas. It's mm-hmm. not physical destruction of anything.
That's right. Hey, we want to take some phone calls, so let's quickly go through some stories. And, Bernie, you've got a story for us, too, which we'll get to in just a moment. First of all, the end is really just about here. A Palm Beach, Florida-based telecommunications company has developed a miniature digital monitoring device that can be implanted in people intended to assist in locating missing children or for monitoring the heart rate of at-risk patients.
I always love those reasons given for such devices.
Well, it's here. They've definitely... they've made it. It's something that they can plant inconspicuously just under the skin. It sends and receives data. It can be continuously tracked by GPS technology. The company expects applications in the field of law enforcement, security, and medicine. They did a poll over on CNN, and they asked how many people would use this for, you know, to keep track of their kids. 25% said yes, which is a minority, but that's a significant number. It really is.
That's actually some...
One out of four parents would implant something into their child's body.
Yeah. They would. I'd like to hear from some of them out there. Maybe we can figure out what makes you tick. Some other brief news items. The astronauts aboard the space shuttle, they could use a hand. They've been stricken by a terrestrial predicament. Their email is down. It's just coming out as X's and zeros, astronaut John Grunsfeld radioed shortly after the crew woke Monday.
Oh, but those are kisses and hugs.
I don't think that's what they mean. But if anybody knows how to help them out with that, well, they can't send them email, can they? I'm not sure what they can do.
Well, you could probably raise them on the imagery
Well,
bank.
It's a Windows-based application. That's probably most of the problem right there.
There you go.
Though the email he referred to is not vital, NASA does use email to transmit important information to the astronauts, so they're kind of screwed right now. You hear about the town in Oregon that they're renaming to half.com?
Yes.
What?
Yeah, it's finally happening. At first there was stadiums, you know, and then there was campuses that only sold one product and didn't allow another on. But now towns are being named after corporations. That's right. Halfway Oregon needs a whole lot of help. Businesses are leaving. Logging is virtually dead. The gold mines closed long ago. And now, an entrepreneur from Philadelphia has a plan to save this hard luck community of 365 people. The idea is to rename Halfway to half.com, which happens to be the name of the businessman's online commerce startup. Yes, folks, you see where it's going. Soon you'll have Microsoft communities.
Well, this isn't
a Pepsi town.
This isn't without precedent. I mean, for instance, there was a town owned and run by Hershey, the chocolate people. And they paid their employees.
There's Woolridge, Pennsylvania, too.
Yeah.
I thought it went the other way around. Didn't Hershey come first and Hershey built their plant?
Built the town, yes. And they paid their employees in scrip, which could only be redeemed at the local town.
Was the town named Hershey before Hershey came around?
the town was built by Hershey, the corporation, as a place for their employees to live. So they actually.
So there
built
was
the
no
town.
Hershey before Hershey came in.
Correct.
What was there? Just a field?
I don't know. I'd have to consult the books.
I'll bet you it was something else before they.
Yeah, it was probably a small town.
I wonder if you can buy a Nestle bar in Hershey. It's one of many things I want to find out. Harvard.
I'll get you arrested.
Harvard is suing a Boston man who claims bought up website addresses containing Harvard or Radcliffe in the name and made plans to auction them off to the highest bidder. The suit filed in federal court says Michael Reese and his company WebPro registered some 65 addresses for $70 apiece and offered them to Harvard for a sum of $325,000 before trying to sell them at an online auction. The university is sending a message. We intend to take vigorous action against cyber squatters and defend the Harvard trademark. How did he get so many 65 addresses?
Well, here's the great thing. When control over the domain namespace turns over to ICANN in January, all of these previously settled domain trademark disputes get to be reopened.
Oh, great.
You have the opportunity within 60 days to, like, bring it back before the ICANN board so that they can decide.
Well, the website where that this guy runs is called www.harvardyardsale.com. So, by all means, look into that if you're interested. And I guess that's pretty much it from this end. Bernie, very quickly, we have a story about some new federal raids, which is on the 2600 website.
Yeah, a few small hobby electronics suppliers, so kit manufacturers, that sort of thing. Amongst them, Ramsey Electronics in upstate New York, and Super Circuits, which I think is out somewhere in the Midwest, in the western part of the country. Both of them were recently raided by U.S. customs agents, armed federal agents with semi-automatic weapons, who confiscated tens of thousands of dollars worth of inventory. Now, if you check out the 2600 website, 2600.com, you'll find a link to both of these companies' sites, and on one of them you'll see an example of some of the products that the U.S. Marshals seized at gunpoint. And many of them are little electronics kits that were very popular in schools and with Cub Scout troops, that sort of thing, teaching electronic communications principles. Apparently, the federal government is afraid that people will use these devices for electronic surveillance, these little, like, $5.95 wireless Mr. Microphone-type toys for illegal electronic surveillance. Like, anybody who's said.
Let me just ask you a question here. Now, these are legal devices, are they not?
Well, for years. I mean, Ramsey, for instance, has been selling these things for a quarter of a century, for 25 years. These little hobby kits that will, like, you can set up a little home radio station in your house. It'll only transmit maybe a few hundred feet to a nearby FM radio. And they're in the backs of all the electronics magazines, like Popular Electronics and Electronics Now, that sort of thing. But apparently the feds are cracking down on this now after decades of ignoring this sort of thing. Now, what one high-ranking justice official told someone who asked me not to quote their name, who's involved in this case, he was told that this was a politically motivated order for these raids to go out and that it was related to the Linda Tripp wiretapping case. In other words, the administration is apparently trying to show that amateur electronic surveillance is a big problem and that they were doing something about it by raiding these very upstanding companies who have been in business for years selling products that were made with components that anybody could buy at Radio Shack. Is that a common theme we can hear? Surprisingly, Radio Shack still has not been charged criminally, but these people are looking at criminal prosecutions, and it's really crazy.
Well, we definitely need to find out more details on this because it sounds almost unbelievable that they can just shut down a company for selling something that's legal. I mean, either there's more to the story here, or we're really in a scary predicament right now.
Well, the problem is the wording of the federal statutes as more and more statutes get passed, including the one that was used against me for the first time, they're very vaguely worded. And whenever you have a law that's so vague as to be interpreted in almost any way you want, it's vulnerable to abuse. And that's what's going on here. Now, you can actually, through the 2600 website, access the actual federal statutes in question here. One is related to wiretapping. The other is called smuggling. In other words, importing these parts, which are extremely common electronic parts used in radios, every radio on the planet. So check out the website, read the statutes, read the list of products that are available from these companies, and see for yourself what's going on here. It's really scary.
But don't stop there. People should not just look at this and bemoan their fate and say, oh, this is horrible. They should challenge it. They should defy it. They should stand up against it because this is wrong.
Well, you're going to have to because it's setting precedent. Mm-hmm. We've already had the arrest of Bill Cheek for selling another wholly legal component which had the quote-unquote potential mm-hmm. to be used in a criminal act. Now this, it's growing.
And yeah, and every time somebody doesn't stand up, they simply move further in a really bad direction. So we're going to try and get a hold of the people involved in this and find out just what exactly is going on. So stay tuned to Off the Hook. Keep checking the webpage, and we'll have updates as we get them. 212-209-2900 is our phone number. Let's try and squeeze in as many calls as we can in the brief time that we have left. Let's go over here. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi, good evening. I'd just like to make a couple of humorous comments and then two serious ones.
Make them fast.
I'm really worried about registering my CB radio years ago. Maybe they're going to come around and collect all of them.
Yeah, well, they got your name somewhere.
and also with the implant chip, we won't have to stand in line at the motor vehicle anymore. They just they'll renew us via electronic. You know, you just have to get charged up or something, you know.
And yeah. Walk through the door and they scan you. That's not bad.
You don't even have to do that. The cop comes over and he reads your chip, and if not, he pushes a button and you're out of commission, you know.
There you go.
Anyway, in the behind the 80s, like the 70s, the 60s, the 50s, we didn't have any problem. There were no computers that ran things. I mean, if anything happens, things will just return to that, I would think. You know, we're so worried about the computer thing. But
if Y2K turns out to be a real bummer, yeah.
Right. But the real problem that I don't hear too many people, if any, talking about is the earth changes and the shifting of the axis and that kind of thing, because we're starting to see it with strange weather patterns.
Well, we're not shifting on the axis, are we? I thought that was pretty stable.
Well, it's not really. I mean, spin one of those old-fashioned tops and watch when it comes to a change. It'll slow down.
Well, yeah, but that's a top. This is a planet. It's.
But what are we attached to? We're not attached to anything.
Well, yeah, but a top is attached to the ground it's spinning on. That's why it falls down on the ground. But I sort of see your point. We should watch out for these things.
Well, we don't have any choice. This is really where the problem is, and this is what people should be looking for. I mean, look, if you look at the world map, all the continents fit together.
Well, yeah, it's because they all were together at one point.
Right. Well, that hasn't stopped. That hasn't ended yet. I mean, that's really land masses are shifting. The Carolinas have lost 1,200 feet of their shoreline, and I mean, you see natural disasters and floods, and I mean, just it's happening, and this is people not even looking at it. We got a lot more problems than worrying about saving a couple of gallons of water.
Well, that's true. If there's, we definitely have a lot more things to worry about at any time. Let's take another phone call. 212-209-2900. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi. This is Valen from Brooklyn.
How are you?
There was an article on CNN.com about the Phone Masters. They were a group of crackers back in the mid-90s, and CNN actually did a pretty good job covering some of their actions. You want me to read some of it for you?
We really don't have time. Can you just give us a gist of it?
Yeah. They basically broke into some systems at AT&T, Sprint, MCI, uh-huh. Stole some calling card numbers, sold them to the Sicilian Mafia. Their leaders went on trial recently, and they got about 41 months apiece.
I mean, that's real crime right there. That's got nothing to do with hacking. That's just, you know, a bunch of people being stupid, you know, having to have computers and, you know, access to various things. That doesn't make them hackers, though.
Exactly.
All right. Thanks for calling. Let's move on to another phone call. Good evening. You're on the air.
You know, with the suggestion about turning off the elevators and then after a few minutes after midnight turning back on, that type of thing, and people calling each other at New Year's, like millions of people at once, that is the kind of thing that will cause overloads and blowouts. So
that's right.
You know, half of the plans that they make are just going to go backwards on them anyway.
All right.
You know, if I had to suggest what hacking is, people should go to something like the FBI.gov website and open something up and keep doing your research, and then suddenly you'll get the unclassified, private, or file unregistered, you know, and then you begin to feel, you know, gee, this is something I pay taxes for. I don't really understand why this information on me is something that I can't read about.
Ah, but you can, you know, if you file your Freedom of Information Act request.
Yeah, well, 2 years. 2 years.
Well, it's supposed to take 20 days.
Yeah, I have no faith in that system, to be honest. Because the people overseeing it are the people that you don't trust in the first place.
Well.
You know, you just got to break into the office and get the stuff like, you know, like MacGyver would do.
Well, I don't endorse that in any way.
No. Neither does MacGyver. He just doesn't. All right, 212-209.
I like to chew my bubble gum.
Good evening. You're on the air.
Yeah, how you doing? This is going to be real quick. I just wanted you guys to know that on CNN.com, they had a story about the whole eToy.com thing.
You know, I wanted to talk about that tonight. I'm glad you brought that up. Yeah, that story was horrendous.
Yeah, it basically hinted that eToy was trying to muscle in on their business and things like that.
They put up a story that basically said that eToys.com was being victimized by this company called eToy. Now, if you listen to our show a few weeks ago, you'll see it's exactly the opposite. eToy was around since, what, 1994?
Mm-hmm.
eToys came around much later and
basically
used their bullying tactics to take the domain away from eToy. Now, eToy, of course, is upset, and that's apparently what's getting eToy's publicity, that these artists are targeting them or something. It's preposterous. If you want to see how words can be twisted, go to CNN.com and look at the eToy story. It's unbelievable.
Oh, buying a news story from a commercial news organization.
That's exactly what it is.
All right. Thanks a lot, guys.
Thanks for calling. I'm very glad that was brought up. Let's see if we can get through a couple more. Good evening. You're on the air. Okay, you got to talk faster than that. Good evening. You're on the air.
Oh, I'm last. I'll make it quick.
No, you're not last. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello.
Yes, go ahead.
Eric. The theme song, Big Audio Dynamite, right?
Yeah.
I picked up the cassette that you told us one day had the theme song, and it wasn't on that theme song, on that CD.
Well, no, I never said it was on a CD. In fact, I said it wasn't on a CD.
Oh, I thought you said the Super Hits had the Super Hits one had it.
No. It's not on any CD. It's not on any record except the back of a 12-inch single.
Okay.
You will never find it.
All right. And listen, on that guy with the worth, earth shifting and that kind of stuff. I mean, I really have some paranoid nuts in this world, and I don't think they're on the track at all with the hackers are at. I think they're these crazy people who really need psychological help.
Okay, well, you'll be singing a different tune when the earth falls down, but we'll get to that next time.
Well, the idea is not that it falls. Well, never mind.
Good evening. You're on the air.
Ooh.
Wait, let me finish. Okay.
I agree.
I see his point.
That makes sense.
Good evening. You're on the air. Okay, you were on the air. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yeah, I call my mom in Florida once every 2 months. I'd like to get off of AT&T and use one of those 321 dialing services.
Okay.
Do you know of any that doesn't charge? Let's say I call up and my father picks up the phone for 1 second. Oh, your mother isn't here. Do they charge me for the full 10 minutes at 99 cents?
I think 321 does, but there was another one that people were talking about last week.
6868. That's the one I use. I like it a lot.
I think they don't charge except by the minute. So, yeah, that person made one phone call and they got charged 10 cents or something like that, or 7 cents or whatever.
You can visit their website. It's pt-1.com.
All right, last call. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello?
Yes, go ahead, quickly.
Hey, I just wanted to say that I actually bothered to watch the 2020 thing last night.
Uh-huh.
Condolences.
And I thought that it was really lame that guy hired that kid because he was scared from him. I think it was a good idea that he actually hired a hacker, but he did it for all the wrong reasons.
Yeah, the reasons he gave were pretty silly, and it made the person seem even worse by introducing the fear factor. Anyway, we're going to have to leave it there. Thanks for calling. Bernie, thanks for being on the show.
Thank you.
And we'll be updating people on these important stories in the next couple of weeks. Stay tuned. Good night.
The telephone keeps ringing, so I ripped it off the wall. I cut myself while shaving, now I can't make a call. We couldn't get much worse, but if they could, they would. So the rebound for the best to take the worst. Thank you.
has the power to pass through 6 feet of concrete and razor wire? WBAI, and your shout-out, holiday greeting, or personal message to your loved one or family member behind prison walls. To record your message, call the following voicemail number before the 27th. We'll be airing them publicly before New Year's Eve, so stay tuned for the exact time of the broadcast. Call 212-209-2958 and follow the instructions. That's 212-209-2958, an unusual gift from WBAI.
Grabe su saludo o su mensaje personal en el siguiente número de WBAI 99.5 FM antes del 25 de diciembre. Los transmitiremos cerca de Año Nuevo. Esté pendiente de los anuncios que le indicarán la fecha y hora de transmisión y pase la noticia. Va para todos, tanto dentro como fuera.
Llame 212-209-2958.
Take care, okay? Hi, Junior. This is Mommy. How are you doing? I hope you had a real nice Merry Christmas. We'll see you tomorrow morning, so go to bed early so we can see you tomorrow.
Hi, Dad.